Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Leadership and Training for the Fight is a Practical Leadership and Training Book by Paul R. Howe, a former Delta Force soldier and longtime tactical instructor. Positioned at the intersection of military nonfiction, leadership manual, and training guide, the book draws on Howe's special operations background to discuss how teams are prepared, led, and evaluated under pressure. Rather than presenting leadership as an abstract corporate concept, it treats it as a discipline shaped by standards, repetition, assessment, and accountability. The book is especially relevant to readers interested in law enforcement, military instruction, team development, and high-stakes decision-making. Its purpose is not to offer inspirational theory, but to translate hard-earned operational experience into usable guidance for leaders and trainers. That makes the book distinctive within its genre. It connects battlefield realism to broader questions about how people are selected, trained, organized, and led effectively when failure is costly. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, leadership as a field discipline, not a personality trait. A central idea in the book is that effective leadership is built through behavior, preparation, and consistency rather than charisma alone. Howe's background in special operations gives weight to this view because elite units depend on leaders who can create order, communicate standards, and maintain control in demanding situations. The book suggests that a leader is measured less by style than by the quality of decisions, the clarity of expectations, and the ability to keep a team aligned with its mission. This makes the leadership model highly practical. Leaders must be trainable, observable, and accountable. In that sense, the book moves away from vague leadership language and toward a standards-based approach where trust is earned through competence. Readers looking for a theory of influence will find something narrower but more useful for operational settings, leadership, as a set of repeatable actions that can be taught, practiced, and evaluated. Secondly, training that prepares people for real performance under stress. The book places unusual emphasis on training as the bridge between intent and performance. Howe's perspective is rooted in environments where training is not ceremonial, but directly tied to survival and mission success. That means good training must do more than transmit information. It must shape habits, test judgment, and expose weaknesses before real consequences arrive. The value of this approach is that it treats training as a system, not a one-time event. A competent trainer must understand what the team needs, how to sequence instruction, and how to progress from basic skills to reliable execution. This is important because many organizations mistake exposure for preparation. Howe argues, in effect, that real training should create competence under pressure, not just familiarity with procedures. The book therefore appeals to readers who want a serious framework for designing instruction that produces measurable readiness rather than superficial confidence. Thirdly, how to read students and adapt instruction to the team. Another important dimension of the book is the relationship between trainer and student. Howe does not treat instruction as a one-directional transfer of information. Instead, he emphasizes understanding how people learn, where they fail, and what kind of feedback helps them improve. This is a significant point because in high-performance settings, poor instruction can waste time and create dangerous blind spots. The book's practical value lies in its attention to adaptation. Trainers must notice how students respond, distinguish between lack of knowledge and lack of execution, and adjust methods accordingly. That approach is especially useful for leaders who oversee mixed experience teams, where one-size-fits-all instruction often fails. By focusing on student development, the book broadens its scope beyond tactics and leadership to include teaching skill itself. It presents good instruction as an active diagnostic process in which the trainer continuously assesses readiness, comprehension, and performance before moving forward. Fourthly, building capable teams through selection, standards, and accountability. The book also reflects a strongly team-centered view of performance. In special operations and law enforcement contexts, the quality of the unit matters as much as individual talent, and Howe's approach reflects that reality. Effective teams are not created simply by assembling capable people. They are formed through selection, training standards, and clear accountability. This is one of the book's most transferable ideas because it applies to any organization that depends on coordinated work. If standards are vague, teams drift. If selection is careless, training becomes inefficient. If accountability is weak, good people are forced to compensate for poor performance. The book's emphasis on structure makes its leadership model concrete. Leaders must define what competent performance looks like and sustain that definition over time. That is what turns a group of individuals into a functioning unit. Readers in civilian organizations can adapt this insight by focusing on role clarity, shared expectations, and disciplined follow-through rather than relying on informal teamwork alone. Lastly, operational realism and the limits of romantic leadership myths. What distinguishes the book from many leadership titles is its operational realism. Howe writes from a world where leadership is tested in conditions that expose weak planning, poor instruction, and sloppy assumptions. As a result, the book resists the romantic idea that leadership is mostly about motivation or bold rhetoric. Instead, it shows that strong leadership depends on preparation, honest assessment, and a willingness to confront failure early. This realism is valuable because it keeps the reader focused on what actually improves performance: sound training design, rigorous standards, and the ability to learn from operational experience. At the same time, the book implicitly reveals a limitation of many leadership models built for general business use. Those models often ignore the consequences of error and the need for disciplined readiness. Howe's perspective is therefore especially compelling for readers who want leadership advice grounded in demanding environments rather than abstract management language. In conclusion, Leadership and Training for the Fight should be read by military professionals, law enforcement personnel, trainers, team leaders, and readers who want a serious, experience-based account of leadership under pressure. It is also useful for civilian managers and instructors who need a clearer understanding of how standards, feedback, and accountability shape performance. The book's practical benefit is that it connects leadership directly to training outcomes. If a team is underprepared, leadership has failed somewhere in the system. That makes the book more than a collection of tactical observations. It functions as a framework for building competent people and capable units. Compared with many books in the leadership genre, it stands out because it is not built around broad motivational advice or corporate abstractions. Its authority comes from special operations experience, but its lessons are not limited to combat. The real value of the book is its disciplined, unsentimental view of how people learn, how teams are formed, and why preparation matters when the margin for error is small. If you would like to support Paul R. Howe, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.